Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. The readings are taken from Psalm 133 and Ephesians 4. Our talk is by Nigel Bright, a member of St. James. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life, forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Ephesians chapter 4. Paul has just prayed that the Ephesians would know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And we can guess that one of Paul's therefore passages is about to follow as he unpacks the word fullness. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, therefore, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Well, for anyone who doesn't know me, my name's Nigel. And I'm going to be sharing some thoughts with you this morning. But before we start, let's just have a short word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we are gathered together, and as we start to reflect on your word and your message for us today, as we sung earlier, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we may take in what you want to say to each of us individually and as a church today. Amen. Amen. So some of you at the back might not be able to see, but you might be wondering why. I have a cake. No. If you know somebody who can bake a cake well, you ask them. So thank you, Sarah. But you will be able to taste it afterwards because I'm not taking it home. A McDonald's bag. No McDonald's in it. And a piece of sandpaper. But you're going to have to wait to find out why I brought those. Over the last few weeks, we have been looking in depth at the Holy Spirit. We spent quite a long time thinking about the Holy Spirit, and we've looked at the Holy Spirit as advocate and helper, comforter and helper, living water, transformer of lives, consecrating and anointing, leading, purifying, wind and fire. Today, we're going to be looking at bringing unity, the Holy Spirit bringing unity. But let's just start with thinking about what is unity? That lovely psalm that we had read to us really paints a good picture as to where unity comes from. How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. So it's not just a good thing. It is a wonderful thing and a beautiful thing. It's like costly oil anointing down the head and beard of Aaron, flowing down the collar of priestly robes. What a wonderful picture. But somebody else must have dropped the oil, poured the oil down on Aaron. So when Aaron, the high priest, was anointed, the fragrant oil was poured on his head and it flowed down, symbolizing unity that comes from God and extends to the whole community. So unity is not just human effort. It comes from God. And that's important. And this gives a hint as to what Paul is going to tell us about the Spirit and unity. So Paul's letter to the Ephesians is filled with encouragement and instruction, both about our priority, God and his glory, as well as on unity in Christ and how that unity calls us to act with each other. So what is unity? Well, this is where our cake comes in. What's gone into this? All those ingredients have gone in. Margarine, sugar, eggs, and so on, to produce something that we can eat. Separately, those ingredients might be all right, but some, you know, if you eat raw eggs, not always good for you. So they have to be transformed. Combined and brought together, they produce something good. Each of those separate ingredients play a part until they're brought together and in effect unified to create this thing. But sometimes unity is confused with conformity or uniformity. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up if you've ever had a McDonald's. But wherever you go in the world, I was in a school this week, and the head said that their child had contacted them and they were some other country and they'd been into McDonald's, so they were all right. They knew whatever they had there would be the same as they'd have in Taunton. Now, that's a good thing in one way. For this, it serves a purpose. But that's not what unity is about. And that's not what Paul is saying about unity. Paul sets it out that everyone, he's not saying that everyone being the same and every church being exactly the same is about unity. Now, I want you to do something for me. I want you just to look around the church. Just look at the different people in the church. Have a good look. I expect you'll see some people that you know quite well. People you might have spoken to once or twice. Perhaps someone you've had little or no contact with. And certainly people who are very different to you. So unity for Paul is not being exactly the same. But where do we get unity in the church from? Thank you, Phil. As we saw in Psalm 133, ultimately it comes from God. But what does Paul have to say about this? Paul is very clear in verses 3 to 6 that unity is given by God by the Spirit. So those of us who have given our lives to Christ in this church and in other churches, that's where it's come from God. But he says that we have unity for him is one God, one Christ, one Spirit. We are unified as Christians by the fact that we have one God, one Christ, and one Spirit. Just as you looked around the church and saw differences, we know that actually there are lots of different churches. What we do here is different from some of the Church of England churches in the town. The Baptist church is different in some of their practices to us. Presbyterian were different to the Catholic. Greek Orthodox would seem very different to us. But what Paul is stating is that as Christians, we have one God, one Christ, and one Spirit, and are unified in that. But how can this be when there's so much difference? So if there is one God, surely one church. If the unity of God can't be broken, how can the church be? Well, I suspect you're also thinking, down history, the church hasn't had a very good history of unity sometimes. And perhaps it's worth thinking about it in two ways. The visible church, those denominations maybe that I've shown, and the invisible church. The visible church, each one of us, St. James, the different churches we can see. But the invisible church is what's underneath that. That our faith, our fact that we are unified in one God, one Spirit, and one Christ. Now that can be a real challenge to us. It's a personal challenge with all those differences. But Paul recognizes this, and he sets out in verse 3 a very, very clear message. Spare no effort to make fast with the bonds of peace the unity that the Spirit gives. Spare no effort to make fast with the bonds of peace the unity that the Spirit gives. We might have differences in the visible, but we need to work to provide that unity. So, if Paul is saying that the church is indestructible, and goes on to say we need to work hard to maintain it, this distinction must be to maintain the church's unity visibly. But remember, not doing all exactly the same, and we must spare no effort. This is one of the challenges that Paul makes to us and to the Ephesians. So we must strive to maintain that spirit of unity. That is quite a challenge. When we have different views, we will have different views here. We'll have different views with different congregations in other churches. Unity is one of those words, if you've been watching the television or listening to the news, has been used and used and used and used and used so much this week. We see it, the disunity in politics. Countries in dispute. There are families who don't talk to each other. So what does disunity within and across the church say about the Christian church? How powerful a witness a visible sign of unity would be. Can we disagree and have a loving debate? But Paul doesn't leave us just there. He goes on in verses 7 to 10 to state that each of us, every one of us, has been given a gift. But each of us has been given a special gift, a particular share in the bounty of Christ. That is why Scripture says, he ascended into the heights, He took captives into captivity. He gave gifts to men. Those gifts included gifts of the apostles, gifts of evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. These gifts were used to equip God's people in his service and help us mature as Christians. But as many commentators state, the foundations of the church by the apostles and the prophets centuries ago, and in John Stott's words, that foundation was laid. We can't necessarily tamper with it. We might interpret it differently. But in the New Testament, there's lists of the five lists of spiritual gifts. And if you work them all through, they work out to be 21. And he mentions some in Ephesians. Whole list of gifts. We're not going to look at all of those in detail because that would be a completely different talk. But have a quick look at those. Do you recognize any of those in you or some of the people who've been you looked at earlier on when you were looking around the church? What is clear from Paul is not everyone will receive the same. We're all different. And so in striving for unity, that diversity is important. It is a strength. So we have unity in God's eyes, but we also need to recognize the diversity of people and the gifts that they've been given. So looking around, when you looked around this morning, you will recognize some of those gifts being used. You'll recognize those people using those gifts. But just look around again with different eyes. Just look around again, and can you see some of those gifts? Those people who've got some of those gifts that they are using. Do you recognize those? And why are you thinking, what is your gift from the Holy Spirit? Do you recognize your gift? And are we using it? Are you using it? So far, we've seen that the Psalms have told us that unity comes from God. Doesn't always mean exactly the same. It's not conformity. We are unified through one God, one Spirit, and one Christ. Spirit was said to unify and maintain unity. But we have a role, we must strive to maintain that. And Christ has given us all gifts. So what's the purpose of those gifts? And how should we be using them? Verse 12, Paul says, it's to equip God's people for the work in his ministry. Or in other translations, service. And the second part says, for building up the body of Christ. Some commentators reflect that that ministry is not used to describe just the work of the pastor, but rather the work of all of us, the laity, all God's people without exception. You would have heard Fabian mention several times about all member ministry. And you will see the range of ministries we have in the church that we've developed over the last few years. We have the welcome team ministry, catering team ministry, prayer team ministry. We've heard the music team ministry, life group ministry, bell ringing ministry, and thank you for your witness to the community this morning with the bell ringing. Young people's ministry, and so on. And I do apologize if I've missed anybody out. The use of the word ministry for all those roles is powerful and important. So it's not just a group of people grouped together under some administrative heading for convenience, but a group of people who use their gifts, from Paul's words, building up the body of Christ and equip us to go out into the community to witness the love of God. As I asked earlier, what is your gift and how are you using it? So we've been charged with using those gifts. But Paul reminds us in verse 2 is how we should use those gifts. How are you going to live up to your calling? To be humble, to be gentle, to be patient, putting up with other people's failings, and in the spirit of love. Sometimes in society, this can be viewed as being weak, lacking in strength, something a bit too nice. This is sometimes how people view the church. Doing all these things in the spirit of love, though, just doesn't mean that anything goes. At times, it means we have to address injustices, mistakes, unkindness, and actions that can be harmful. But it's how we approach these things that, that we need to be reminded about. One final thought. And this is where the sandpaper comes in. Some of you might have come across an American Christian comedian called Michael Jr. If you haven't, I would thoroughly recommend listening to him. Because through humor, he provides real thought-provoking messages. Sarah and I and the Lucases were very fortunate to actually see him live in Bath at the Life Church on Monday. And that was a privilege. But there he spoke about conflict. And his message was that conflict can be good. Conflict can be good. And it seemed, when I was listening to that, that this actually had something to say about our theme of unity. He used the phrase, God will bring into your life people and circumstances to reveal where you are not free. And he likened it to God wanting us to walk through a doorway. So just imagine, we have a doorway, and we're trying to walk through. On one side, there's a big knot, and we just can't get through that doorway. Those people are sent to us to help us recognize we're not free. A bit like the sandpaper. Can rub that knot down until we the right shape to go through the door, or that right shape of the piece of jigsaw to fit. So sometimes, disagreements, a bit of tension, will help us grow, to mature, as Paul writes. Perhaps sometimes the Spirit, in its role of bringing unity, is to provide that bit of tension and conflict to help us grow. So in those 10 verses in Ephesians, Paul has given us so much of an insight into the Holy Spirit and its part in bringing unity. It comes from God. How we as Christians are all united. That we are charged to strive and maintain that unity. It does not mean we're all the same. We are equipped with different gifts. It's also important, it struck me this morning coming in, that this theme of unity happened on this Sunday. Sunday when we share the communion, a time when we come together to share that communion as a whole church. And I'd like just to end with a short prayer. Those of you who use Lectio 360 every day for your devotions will recognize this prayer, but it's very simple. But to me, I find it really powerful. So let us pray. Father, help me live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.